This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. expresspros.com.
All right. Happy Wednesday morning to you. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show. I am Mark. That is Kim sitting down there. And that is Ethan over there controlling the board. Welcome in. We're happy you're with us this morning. You know, I just have to say that early is the new on time, and on time is the new late. And if you are one of the people that I saw video of this morning on the local news stations, rushing, standing in line at the last second to get your real ID, I have a hard time feeling badly for you. Can I just tell you that?
So you don't feel bad for me then?
I do not.
I've not gotten it. I'm not getting it today because, yes, I am flying in June, but I have my passport.
Thank you.
On top of that, the deadline is today, but that would only really impact you if you all of a sudden have to fly out. Because otherwise, you can still get it after. It's not like this is the cutoff and they're saying, well, you missed the window. You can still get it. It's just that you will now need that or your passport to fly domestically or to enter a federal building.
Yeah, I have a hard time feeling bad for people. We've been talking about this. It's been delayed again and again and again and again and again. Unless you're flying out tomorrow. This is just something I'm sorry, but I have a family member. I'm not going to out him on the radio this morning, but they took a trip a few years ago, and lo and behold, he realized about 4 days before he left that his passport had expired, and he was flying to a beach somewhere, Cancun or somewhere like this, right? And when that happens to you, there's only one place within easy driving distance of St. Louis where you can get that fixed in one day. He had to drive to Chicago.
Yep.
Get his passport processed, and drive all the way back. So what, a 10 or 11 hour round trip just because of poor planning.
I know someone who had to do that.
I'm sorry.
Mark, you're just maybe on top of things. Us procrastinators over here, we do just fine. We thrive typically under a deadline. We put it off, put it off, put it off. Like we were, in fact, my husband and I were talking about whether we're type A or type B personality. I'm more type A than I realize, but I definitely have type B qualities, and this is one of them.
Well,
I'm like, it's fine. It'll work out.
No need to rush. I am on top of it. You know why I'm on top of it? Because I have a wife, and she reminds me of all this stuff. So I'm not taking credit for it. I'm just saying, when I saw the long lines of people this morning waiting in line,
you've had plenty of warning. You're saying that it doesn't even open till what, 7?
No. I don't know if
you're talking
people
about on the news.
But yesterday, okay, the news covered the fact that there were people standing in line at the DMV to try to get their real ID at the last second. I don't know. That's like waiting till the end of the month to go renew your tags.
Mark, I do that too.
It's just dumb.
No, I do that
because too. Because that's when it's going to be the most crowded.
You know what? We know that, but for whatever reason, it just still happens. I don't know.
Yeah. I tell you, when they came up with that you can renew online thing, it was the greatest thing that ever happened, except the first few times that happened to me, there was no pen on the little piece of paper they sent me. I couldn't do it online. It used to drive me crazy. Now I can, so that makes me happy. The more time I can stay away from the DMV, the better off we are.
Well, there probably will be a line, by the way, outside DMVs before it opens today.
Oh, today, I'm sure. Yeah, everybody trying to get in there at the last second. And then inevitably, you'll forget something that you need to get your stamp of approval on the real ID. All right. Lots to get to today, as usual. We've got a war apparently on the verge of breaking out between India and Pakistan. I might have been mispronouncing that my entire life.
What do you call it?
I call it Pakistan.
No, Pakistan.
But on the news this morning, I heard the news anchor call it Pakistan.
Please,
I don't know.
Please no.
Iran,
definitely Pakistan.
Iran, Pakistan. I'm sorry, it's Pakistan is fighting with India in the Kashmir region, which is, I know nothing about that other than the song by Led Zeppelin, but I'm just saying that's the area that's been in contention for a long time. And there are two nuclear powers, so let's hope that it doesn't escalate any further than it actually has at this point. So we got lots to get to this morning. We'll talk more about the Canadian Prime Minister getting just rolled over in the Oval Office yesterday. I've listened to even coverage on the Gordon Deal show this morning. They're reading the news stories on this. The Canadian Prime Minister made it very clear Canada will never, ever be for sale. And you know the part of the soundbite they didn't run? When Trump looked at him, he goes, never say never. That was the best bite out of the whole day. The guy took 5 minutes explaining why there were some things that just aren't for sale. Like this house we're in is not for sale, and the palace in London is not for sale, and Canada is not for sale. And Trump looks at him and goes, never say never. He wasn't just repeating a James Bond line. It was funny. The mainstream media is acting like, well, the Canadian Prime Minister sure showed Trump. No, he didn't. Trump was giving him an eye roll when he was saying it.
I don't think it's ever going to happen where they're the 51st state.
Well, no, they're not.
But it is funny that this guy, Carney, basically ran on the premise of, I'm the guy to fight Trump and take him on. It was that was the most important for people there in Canada elect him.
It was the equivalent of Trump reaching over and patting him on the head. Mm-hmm. That's basically what happened yesterday in the Oval Office, if you didn't watch it. And this is the guy that talked real big when he was on the campaign trail about he was going to go stand up to Trump. And Trump's like patting him on the head like the little kid that's trying to swing at you and you're holding them off by just putting your hand on their head. That's all it amounted to. We are going to talk to John Pudner about that just a little later and see what his take in it was on it, because that was mine. We've got Charles Payne later today, too. Always look forward to that. We will get to Genevieve Wood as well. Right now, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Mr. President, you have said that Canada should become the 51st state.
Yeah. No. Well, I still believe that. But you know, takes two to tango, right?
Takes two to tango, and apparently Mark Carney says he will never, ever, ever tango, even as his economy crumbles.
If Mr. Martin were being put forth as a U.S. attorney for any district except the district where January 6th happened, the protest happened, I'd probably support him, but not in this district.
Yeah, Tom Tillis, clearly he should have been on the J6 committee. This is a Republican senator who's not going to support Missouri's own Ed Martin in that U.S. attorney role because he disagrees with Ed about what happened on January 6th.
He talks about annexing us on a regular basis. I mean, somewhere around 2% of the American population actually want to do this. But, you know, at this point in its history, you know, the American people can obviously be convinced of anything.
Yeah, this is an MSNBC guest who actually said on the air last night, we didn't use the clip there, but I'll play it for you. The United States wants to go to war with Canada.
You know, the history of Canada and the U.S. is we're stronger when we work together, and there's many opportunities to work together, and I look forward to, you know, addressing some of those issues that we have, but also finding those areas of mutual cooperation so we can go forward.
Yeah, that was him. That was Mark Carney. I'm going to play a little more of that for you, because somebody put out a montage this morning on Twitter showing some of the garbage this guy said on the campaign trail. I mean, he completely used Trump as a prop during his campaign. The Trudeau's party should have lost by double digits. They ended up winning because this guy whipped everybody up as an us-against-them argument about how evil Donald Trump was, and we're going to stand up to him. We're not going to be bullied, and blah-dy, blah-dy, blah. And as even as their plants are shutting down and people are seriously feeling the impact of these tariffs in Canada, because 80% of everything they import in Canada comes from the United States. Everything. Virtually everything. Now, can they be a self-contained country? Yeah, they've got minerals. They've got a few steel plants. They can certainly build you a nice log home. But beyond that, they need the resources that America sells them. So however long however long this Mark Carney guy can stand up and bluster about how tough he is, he'll have to cave. He will cave at some point, or they'll throw him out of office when people are standing in lines looking for handouts up in Canada. I just thought it was, to listen to the guy, that soundbite summarizes it all. I'm going to get to more on that for you coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Now, something really cool is happening tonight. There's a city soccer game. And our friend Alex Rich, who he's on the Reardon Show, I think, one day a week. He comes in here. He's also an account manager for us here at the radio station. And he is also a singer and a guitar player. Mm-hmm. And they're going to let him sing the national anthem tonight at the St. Louis City game. They invited him to do that.
That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. What we're hoping for is to get a clean feed of it, which is important, so that we can play it for you tomorrow morning.
I would be so nervous that
He said he's a little nervous.
Well, you have to be. I mean, it's one of those things where, first of all, you're already nervous having to perform. And not only is he singing, but Ethan, you were saying he's playing guitar.
Yeah, he
tonight
should be playing
too. Okay, so that's intimidating. But then, obviously, it's like you'd know the words of the national anthem, but I would still be so nervous that I would just get up there in front of everybody and completely blank.
He said it. The thing is, I've never sang in front of that large of a crowd before. It'd be like going into, you know, a stadium concert.
Yeah.
A bunch of raucous fans wanting to hear the anthem. So good luck to our friend Alex tonight. Hopefully we'll have that for you tomorrow morning. What do we have right now?
We have the U.S. Marine Corps Band.
Nice.
As you know from real estate, there are some places that are never for sale.
That's true.
We're sitting in one right now, you know, Buckingham Palace, that you visited as well.
That's true.
Having met with the owners of Canada over the course of the campaign last several months, it's not for sale, won't be for sale ever. But the opportunity is in the partnership and what we can build together. And we have done that in the past. And part of that, as the president just said, is with respect to our own security. And my government is committed for a step change in our investment in Canadian security and our partnership. And I'll say this as well, that the president has revitalized international security, revitalized NATO, and us playing our full weight in NATO, and that will be part of it.
And they have... I must say, Canada is stepping up the military participation, because Mark knew, you know, they were low, and now they're stepping it up, and that's a very important thing. But never say never. Never say never.
Yeah, Trump, this was like... It was like night and day. It was so odd for me to watch this yesterday. I watched part of it live, and the reporters are screaming questions, and this Prime Minister of Canada could not have bent over backwards more to kiss Donald Trump's rear end. When he was sitting there, the praise he was heaping on Trump as a leader didn't sound anything like what he said when he was on the campaign trail. I think that's cut number two here, Ethan. Could you play that for me?
Thank you for your hospitality and above all for your leadership. You're a transformational president, the focus on the economy with a relentless focus on the American worker.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Securing your borders, ending the scourge of fentanyl and other opioids, and securing the world. And I've been elected with my colleagues here, with the help of my colleagues here. I'm going to spread the credit to transform Canada with a similar focus on the economy, securing our borders again on fentanyl. Much greater focus on defense and security, securing the Arctic and developing the Arctic. And, you know, the history of Canada and the U.S. is we're stronger when we work together, and there's many opportunities to work together. And I look forward to, you know, addressing some of those issues that we have, but also finding those areas of mutual cooperation so we can go forward.
Yeah, great. Yeah, the first issue you need to tackle is the fact that you talk a different game in person. He's like a keyboard warrior. He talked a different game when he was on the campaign trail than when he was sitting down next to the President of the United States yesterday in the Oval Office.
He probably upset some of his supporters back in Canada by doing that, because guy sat there and talked a big game up, like, I'm taking on Trump. I'm the guy to do it.
And Trump,
I love you. You're such a good leader, and I'm just so proud to partner with you to do all of these things. Thank you for everything you've done.
Trump is sitting there looking at the camera saying, this is the thing. We don't need your oil. We don't need your steel. We don't need anything from Canada. And we're perfectly happy to get along. We'll continue protecting you militarily. But we don't need all those things. If we're giving you $200 billion a year in a trade deficit, now we can end that trade deficit and we'll be happy to sell you anything you want. It was like Carney wasn't even in the room. He just looked at the camera and said, we don't need Canada. He said to the guy sitting right there, and I got to be honest with you, as somebody who's been in media for a long time and done a lot of interviews, it is not easy to have difficult conversations like that, and most politicians just avoid it,
right,
particularly in public. Trump is what you see is what you get.
Well, yeah. I mean, think about his conversation with Zelensky. He did not hold back. In fact, they said this was probably good for the public to be able to witness this, because these conversations that can sometimes become heated often happen behind closed doors. So it really pulled back the curtain for a lot of us to see, wow, like, some of these get really contentious.
I go back to his first term when he brought in Schumer and Pelosi and had him sitting on the couch and just chewed them out right in front of the cameras, and they're like, Mr. President, we should not do this with the cameras here. We should negotiate behind closed doors. And he's like, the American people elected us to fix these problems. Mm-hmm. Why do we need to go behind closed doors to talk about them? We need to get this taken care of.
Transparency.
So, bully for Donald Trump on that performance yesterday in the Oval Office. How about that? Coming up, we'll get to Kim on a Whim on a Wednesday morning. Stay tuned.
Kim on a Whim.
We've been talking a lot about how this new minimum wage is going to have an impact on Missouri businesses. And it's not just the minimum wage that as of January increased to $13.75 per hour and will go up to $15 per hour next January. It's also this paid sick leave that these employers now have to offer. Now, as a big company, that really wouldn't maybe have that big of an impact because they're probably already doing that. But the mom and pop shops, the small businesses, that really could be detrimental for them to be forced to do this. I know that Republicans in Jefferson City are trying to fight back against this. So far, there's not been any movement on that because this already took effect.
Well, they will reverse it, I believe.
Oh, I hope.
It's the politics of using the previous question. We have a lot of Senate members in the Republican Party who don't have the cojones to do it more often than they do. And the minute they snub the Democrats who are opposed to changing this, then the Democrats will try to filibuster everything for whatever amount of time we got, with 9 days left, maybe. Mm-hmm. It's got to be fixed. And this is what irritates me to no end when I hear this conversation. Well, you're overriding the will of the people. Well, no, what this was a proposition. It wasn't an amendment, which means it can be changed by our elected representatives in Jeff City. So basically, that didn't mean anything from the standpoint of it's just like any other piece of legislation. It can be changed. It's not in the Constitution, and it's shooting ourselves in the foot economically in the state of Missouri. A lot of small businesses will go out of business over this.
Look at the impact this has had in crazy liberal California when they raise the minimum wage to $20. So for fast food restaurants, they're having to pay $20 minimum wage. A number of businesses have just said, I'm done, I'm out of here. They closed up shop, moved elsewhere because they can't even afford that. There's this business that just popped up in the San Francisco Bay Area, and it's very interesting what they're doing. And the owner of this burger restaurant hasn't come out and just said, oh, this is a way to kind of skirt California's fast food laws. But let's be real. When I tell you about this, it seems pretty obvious. OK, so what they did was they created this 14-foot all-in-one robot with 350 sensors, and it includes 20 computers. OK, this robot from start to finish can create a burger in just seconds. I think it's like technically 5 minutes, though, where it will like actually form the patty, cook it, and then your burger's ready to go. But actually assembling it, I think it was like 27 seconds. So they have two machines in this restaurant, okay? They can make 130 of these burgers per hour. And this is just the first location. So if this is successful, they could be considered.
What's it called? What's the company called?
This is called Burger Bots.
Burger Bots. You know, they have one of these down at White Castle. If you just hang out there more often, you would know that.
What's that, the robot's name there?
I can't think of it, but they got a machine that makes the patties back there. And, you know, it doesn't take long to fry a White Castle burger because there's not much to it. But, yeah, as long as the food is well cooked, who cares who's making it?
Right. So there are employees who will help kind of make sauces and sides and things, but the robots are the ones who are actually cooking them, assembling them, and you get to obviously watch. It's kind of an experience too, but you get to actually watch your burger being made by this robot. And I want to play this clip because there was a food critic who went there just to try out the burger, and she makes a good point too that might be appealing to have a robot make your burger. Listen.
It's the freshest possible burger, and there's way fewer times that people are touching your burger. So think about another restaurant where every single thing that you're eating on the burger has been touched by multiple people. In this case, the bun goes in the tube, it gets shot through the machine, it flies the sauce, it cuts the vegetables to go on the top really freshly and makes it. And at the end, they hand it to you in a box. And at that point, no one has touched it except for you.
That does sound kind of nice.
Please don't touch my burger.
Please don't sneeze in my burger. We know people do sneeze.
Hands
burgers.
Off my burger. I've never really thought of that, but I guess it's a little unnerving when you think. You never know who in the back has fondled your food.
Fondled is the word you're going with there, Mark?
Before it gets to your table or to your fast food bag.
See, I'm not typically weird about that. I'm not a germaphobe by any means, but I mean, you do kind of hope people aren't being disgusting back there.
But
you,
Kim,
don't know.
There's a measles outbreak.
I forgot about the measles outbreak. Don't even get me down that path. Actually, I do want to talk about
that
later
talk
in the
about
show
that
because
later
I have a lot
show.
Of thoughts on that.
And you have good thoughts on that.
Here's,
let me tell you.
Here's the other thing I want to mention about this. So this California fast food law that again increased the minimum wage to $20 per hour. What you have to know about it is that if you have table service, you're exempt from it. Okay. So what this Burger Bots restaurant did was they have human wait staff, which is why I think they were doing this to kind of skirt the law, because basically what they're saying is we're going to have these robots who are preparing it, which, by the way, obviously the robot is going to show up to work every single day on time because it's stuck there. Doesn't have to, can't call out sick, can't say that it's hungover and that it doesn't want to work that day, can't be lazy and slow and goofing off and checking social media and texting in the back when they really should be making burgers. There's a lot of benefits to it. Now, I'm opposed in the sense that it's obviously taking away work from people, but when you have a crazy law like the one that passed in California, I can't blame business owners for wanting to do this. And so they're saying, hey, we're going to have these human wait workers, human wait staff, and really we're all about hospitality. We want to make sure that we're giving you this customer experience that so many of you are craving. But my take is they're probably doing this so that they can avoid having to pay the $20 minimum wage law.
I can see the protests and the signs now. SRS. In California, stop robot slavery. They're going to pass a bill making it illegal for you to force a robot to stay in one place its entire existence and cook hamburgers. It's coming. You know it will.
Oh,
or,
trust me, they probably would.
They'll figure out a way to tax the robot for how many burgers it makes based on how many people it has displaced as employees.
Yep.
And then they'll fine you based on that because they got to figure out a way to fund the ridiculous government spending they do in the state of California. I mean, think if you, whatever salary you make right now, if somebody scooped you up and transported you to California and set your house down there, your house is suddenly worth a lot more, but so are the property taxes on it, and everything in your life probably goes up 50% cost-wise.
Right.
I would guess. So whatever you make now is not enough. I see the challenge. But they've done that to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
In California, they've done that to themselves. If you live in New Jersey, and you know the taxes on my house last year, $10,000. If you live in New Jersey, that's probably $30,000 or $40,000. I mean, it's ridiculous what they've let them get away with. They get able to get away with it because for years they could deduct that from their federal taxes.
Mm-hmm.
But now they can't anymore, and they're angry about it. Well, the only people you have to be angry about are the progressive government officials that you allowed to do that to you in the first place. That's who you got to be mad at.
This is what
I'm mad at me.
This is what I mean. Although I do like the idea of people not being able to sneeze in my burger, I do worry that this is the future. If we keep going down this path here in Missouri, Illinois, this is what could happen. You have these restaurants who feel like the only way that I can keep my business open and provide for my family, which obviously everyone wants to be able to do. That's why you work your tail off to be able to support your family or at least yourself. They're having to find creative ways to do it. And maybe this is one of them, and that is going to put some people out of a job. But can you really blame the business owner where this guy behind this burger restaurant in the San Francisco area might be saying, look, I'm still employing people. I still have people back there making sides and sauces and helping prep the burgers. I still have a wait staff, so I'm still employing people. But if you're going to make it so difficult on me with this stupid minimum wage that's astronomical, I have to find a way around it, or I won't even be able to have any employees.
So pretty soon you will order your burger on a kiosk when you walk in.
Which
a machine
is already
will
happening
make it
at places.
For you. And just like Amazon, before long, a robot will deliver it to your table.
Probably a drone. Maybe it would just
could be
fly
a
it and zzz. Drop it right over. Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be a mess.
That could be the thing.
Could happen.
This is our future. And
this is not anything they weren't warned about. If you keep down this path, the single biggest expense for any employer's labor, period. And when you force a false wage floor, you're forcing us to pay unskilled workers twice what they're worth. You're eventually going to, technology is going to step in and solve the equation.
Mm-hmm.
But
just going to happen, and that's what's happened.
Maybe the robots will be able to take sick days, though.
Stop robot slavery, Kim.
I think that's what the future is.
Make it end.
They need paid vacation time and all the things. They deserve rest.
Yes, they do. Yes, indeed. All right, they're working on SEPA again down in Jeff City. The Second Amendment Preservation Act. Apparently, it's cleared a committee, and they're hoping to try to get this to a vote. Here we go again. They got 9 days left. What are they going to try to attach it to? I don't know the answer to that. A lot of police chiefs are still opposed to it. We're going to talk about it when we come back. Stay tuned.
Well, for two full years, this was law and was enforced. And honestly, we had no real true issues whatsoever.
Harrisonville Republican Senator Rick Bratton defended the bill on the floor today. He says it would only protect the rights of law-abiding Missourians.
Just because I have multiple AR-15s and the feds all of a sudden made AR-15s and 30-round mags, you know, illegal, all of a sudden I don't become a felon.
Bowen worries that this could open the state up to more lawsuits on the taxpayers' dime.
What we need to see is our lawmakers working and using their basic common sense to consider public safety and Missourians' lives, and instead they're working on something that we know is unconstitutional.
Under the new Second Amendment Preservation Act, law enforcement departments would be fined $50,000 if found enforcing federal gun laws. There is less than 2 weeks for lawmakers to get bills across the finish line.
Yeah, Channel 4 reporting there. I watched this story yesterday. This is going on in the Senate, and I don't think it makes it to the end of the session. But my police chief friends have been opposed to this law since it became law. And, you know, I've always argued, what just like the Missouri Firearms Coalition, no $50,000 fine ever happened. And the question then was, well, that's because there were no violations. And remember why this thing was passed to begin with. It was passed out of fear that the Biden administration was going to come in and force actions in the state of Missouri that go against the Second Amendment. And that's why a SAPA was put together to begin with. And I don't think most police chiefs disagree with that. I mean, I think a lot of members of law enforcement, not to put words in their mouth, would not want to be involved in actions against Missouri citizens simply based on the whims of a politician in Washington, D.C. But you watched what Biden did when he was in office. These are people who want to take away your Second Amendment rights. And if they take those away, what you need to ask yourself is, well, what about all the others? Because those are coming next. And that's why I had no problem with SAPA the first time around. The court did. The court threw it out and said, this is unconstitutional. You can't override U.S. law. So they made a minor tweak to it, and the police chiefs are still not happy about it. The minor tweak says that the new version just says that state agencies cannot enforce federal laws that don't match Missouri laws. So they've changed the wording just slightly, but that threat of a $50,000 fine is still in there, supposedly, if you cooperate with a federal agency. My friend Steve Lewis is the chief out in Ellisville. The conversation he had with me on this this is the example he gave. Let's say you live in the you go downtown for a ball game. You can't carry your firearm into the stadium, so you leave it in your car, hopefully locked up. Some thug breaks into your car, steals your gun. You report your gun stolen. It would only be reported stolen in the municipality, which would be the city of St. Louis, where it was stolen. But their argument is because of this law, they wouldn't be able to enter that in a federal database of stolen weapons, so that if it ends up involved in a crime in East St. Louis, because that's where the thug went after they stole it, and then they used it to shoot somebody, there'd be no record that it had been stolen. So if the feds traced the serial number, they would see your name on there, and they'd come kicking your door down
because it was your gun that was used in the commission of a crime. Now, could you unravel that by eventually saying, well, it was stolen, go check with the St. Louis police? But probably. But their point is, these are the barriers this law puts up. They're not supposed to, under the original SAPA law, they're not supposed to cooperate with federal law enforcement, which means a lot of these departments have members who are assigned or on loan to the DEA or the ATF or somebody like that to work on federal fugitive task force and the like. And a lot of these cities were worried that if they continued to do that, it would be in violation of the SAPA law and they would face a $50,000 per incident fine. Now, that never happened. In the 2 years the law was in effect, there were never any fines levied. Nobody ever tried to enforce it that I'm aware of. So I don't know what happens. My friends who are still following this are telling me that it doesn't look like this is going to make it to the floor. So it was debated in the Senate again yesterday, but they're not sure because it would still have to go to the House. There are 9 days left, and then it would have to go to the governor's desk. So I'm not convinced that the Second Amendment Preservation Act is going to survive. I could be wrong, but it's not looking good at this point.
I can understand the concern from law enforcement on the barriers that would put up.
Well, they said if with a few simple tweaks, they would be more accepting of it, but the authors of it refuse to budge on any of that. And because they won't budge on any of it, like changing one line here, one line there, they're just not, the police chiefs are against it. So we'll know something in about 9 days, but I'm not convinced that it's going to be going anywhere. All right, coming up in the next hour, we're going to talk to our friend Nicole Murray. We're going to get to another news for you. We've got John Pudner on at about 7:35 this morning. We'll check in with him to talk a little bit more about the Canadian Prime Minister and how he changed his tune in the Oval Office.